Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 19th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on James Edwards, race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we talked about 2,000 mules selling out at theaters across the nation, receiving raving reviews from moviegoers across the country. We talked about, despite unconstitutional red flags, red flag state laws in New York. Anyway, wherever this guy is, I think he's in New York. Buffalo suspect is Peyton Jenrin, whatever the guy's name is. He bought a rifle legally, folks. So, you know, they tell you all about these laws. And the problem is they use the laws against all of us, but they don't apply the laws when they ought to be applied. All right? No one wants criminals with guns. But you know what? The laws don't prevent that is the problem. Anyway, we also talked about this relates to birth rates keep falling in the United States for women. Americans simply are not making enough babies to replace ourselves, says MSNBC. And you say, Sam, what are you talking about? You first start talking about guns, then this. Well, they're tying this gun craze guy to this race replacement theory they claim that we have. And they're really trying to target Republicans. They say Republican silence in the tide of rising murders by extremists. New York Times writes that article. And they're basically talking about, hey, you know what? The Republicans don't say anything against murder. That's just totally bogus. We all speak out against it. But you know what? If you're a Christian, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill. So to me, it goes without saying. I don't need to every day just condemn the shooter. Look, his actions are already condemned. They should be condemned. But I don't need to say it every second. It goes without saying. But they make you believe that we believe this critical race idea. So you got critical race theory, okay? But then you also have this, you know, race replacement idea. They want you to believe that it's a theory. They lie to you. They want you to believe that we won't double down in defense of it, that we're alluding to it by virtual signaling or dog whistling or something, but we won't tell you straight out what we believe or what we think or why. Let me tell you exactly what I believe so that you're not confused, okay? Let me double down and be super clear. First off, it's not a conspiracy. It's a fact. Okay. This critical race replacement, if this race replacement is not a theory, it's a fact. Okay. And the replacement fact reality is documented 66 ways from Sunday that there is an effort to replace white Americans, white voters with immigrants and people of color. There is. You don't believe me? The proof is the border leaks like a sieve. And over 100,000 people come into our country illegally. Barack Obama lies and says if they vote, they're citizens. Okay? The white race was 90%+ of America yesteryear. It's going down every single year, and it will reach, what do you want to say, below 50%? And when it does, we will be, for the most part, replaced. Now, it's happening because of immigration in America, but it's also happening because white people will not have children. All the other races have babies and multiply and replenish the earth as God said to, but the whites simply don't. They have been educated and brainwashed into believing that having children is bad. It just ruins a woman to have a baby. That's just the worst thing she could do with her body, right? So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, and I get to this for a reason. They want you to believe, though, that because I acknowledge this race replacement fact, that I'm a racist, that I'm a hater, that I'm evil. No, I'm not. Let me explain where I stand. I believe we're all God's children, and we should behave that way and treat each other such. I believe every race has a godly heritage. And every race was made by God. And I believe that we ought to be kind and respectful to one another. But I also don't believe in forcing the races together in this government-controlled melting pot. I believe in people being able to freely associate with one another as they choose. And I believe that, you know what, blacks and whites and other races do commingle in society quite well when left alone. But when forced by government, then it goes off the rails. Okay, 90% of this race hate stuff going on, black on white, white on black, whatever, it's all fomented by your government, folks. Day to day, I just traveled up the East Coast, just traveled across this wonderful land, and I dealt with people of all colors, and nobody had a problem with anybody. We all got along great. We were kind and respectful and appreciative of one another. And everybody just went their way and did their thing, and we freely associated, and it was fantastic. So this idea that I'm a racist is a lie. This idea that I believe that whites aren't having babies like they should. Look, multiply and replenish the earth has never been rescinded, folks. Government doesn't want you to have children, but God does. Well, other races get it. We don't. Why? I don't know. But that's a lot of the reason we're being replaced. But look, I don't mind people coming to America legally. But when you come to America illegally in droves and overwhelm our system and it's done as an illegal act, I'm against that illegal activity. Absolutely against it. Why? Not because of the color of their skin, but because it is illegal. Let me say it again. Not because of the color of their skin. It's because it's illegal. And the problem is it becomes a national security crisis when the content of the character, borrowing a King term, Martin Luther was a big old joke himself. It's not even his real name, and he was a ne'er-do-well, a bad guy also. They won't tell you that, but go study. You'll know the truth. The FBI documented it till the cows come home. Nevertheless, I digress. I'm just telling you, it isn't about the color of one's skin. But you know what? When you bring all kinds of ne'er-do-wells, illegals with criminal pasts to America without any vetting, you're insane from a national security point of view. Okay, so I'm against it because it's illegal, and I'm against it because it's a national security crisis, not because of the color of someone's skin. I am concerned of the content of the character of many of the people we're bringing in. I think any wise nation would be careful of that. But why do they dub me a racist? Why do they tell me it's a theory? Why do they mock? Because they're criminals themselves. Now, they say about 30 minutes before they launched this massacre at this Buffalo supermarket, this guy invited a group of people to his online media service. They knew about it, watched it go down, and nobody dealt with or called the cops or the authorities or anything else. The gunman set up cameras and then broadcasted it live. It reminds me back of the Vegas thing where the man set up cameras at Mandalay Bay. They say that tells investigators that he intentionally planned the massacre. In both cases, they say this is true. But look, there's an attack on every one of us over it. Why? There's an attack on gun rights. There's an attack on me and you, just the average Joe being a racist. There's a dishonest attack on the social media platforms, Discord and Twitch. There's an attack on everything you and I hold dear. Really, there's an attack on Christians. It's a shame to say the least. Without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest slash co-host, Eldon Stahl. Because I want him to talk about this with me, folks. He's the field coordinator at the John Birch Society, JBS.org. Also, thenewamerican.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back. I didn't know I was upgraded to co-host. That's quite a deal. But
that's because you're getting better every time and you're showing up stable as a rock. And that's what it takes to actually be a host, my friend.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, it's been fun so far, so I look forward to today.
Amen. Now, so what do you think about this? I'm saying we're all God's children. We got to act like it. The reason we're against this replacement is because of the reasons they articulated about national security and the content of people's characters and criminals and illegality and all that stuff. But they want you to believe that I'm just a racist and that this is just some theory that I have that we're being replaced. It's documented until the cows come home. It's not even a debate about a theory. But they also want you to believe that I'm evil because I have this understanding and this concern. Do you want to respond?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that I think don't understand the, you might say, the conspiratorial side of history, where people actually plan nefarious, evil things in secret to achieve evil ends. And, you know, immigration is one thing that's kind of easy to sell to people because it's the idea of, we should just be welcoming to everybody and all that. And that sounds pretty good to the average person. But if you take that to, you know, its logical end where there's no limitations on immigration, then you're opening yourself up to being, I guess, subject to falling for the idea that immigration for immigration's sake is an end in itself, and it's a good thing. When you can look throughout history and see very clearly that immigration is at times used as a vehicle for revolution, for social change, for political change. And that's what's going on with the mass immigration into the United States without regard to national security or basic concerns of the state or society at large. You're going to have the people changed. And if many people call the United States a democracy, of course it's not, but still we have voting and the people in any society, regardless of how the government is, if you change the people, you change the society, you change the politics, you change the economics, you change the education, all of those things. And that's really what the revolutionists, whether they're Marxists or socialist or whatever you call them, they want that because they know that the effect. And of course, anybody that opposes it, they claim, well, you're just secretly hating, you're a racist, and we can see into your heart somehow.
Amen to that. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl, Sam Bushman on your radio. Kelly's joining us in seconds for the Honest Money Report. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Eldon Stahl still with me, ladies and gentlemen, and Kelly Finnegan joins the mix. You're talking about the Honest Money Report and a whole lot more. Kelly, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we're talking about this shooter guy that went crazy in the supermarket or whatever. And they really say the guy was a white supremacist, and really all white supremacists are everywhere now. And really the problem is you got these, it's Republicans. Republicans are the key to disinformation. Republicans believe in what's called race replacement theory, they claim. I believe it's race replacement fact. It's not a racial discussion. The fact is that the white families are having less children by choice, I believe by propaganda education, nevertheless, we're having less children and other races are having more children. Therefore, eventually you'll be replaced. But in America, it's primarily that combined with immigration bringing this on for us. And the white race is having less and less and less of a percentage of society. Now, you can debate the pros and cons of that, but I don't believe it's a theory. It's a fact. And I think it's documentable till the cows come home. The problem is that the theory then says that because of that, whites are going to be outvoted and outranked and everything else by other races, and it's a horrible thing. I think they're dividing us up over this. You know, nobody wants to be a racist. I believe we're all God's children and should behave such, Kelly. But I bring this up and I ask you this question, though, about this. You know, how do we deal with this? I think it's a fact. I'm not concerned about people coming to America, but I am concerned when they come illegally. And I am concerned of the content of the character of some of the people that are coming. It's becoming a national security crisis. So I'm concerned about illegal activity. I'm concerned about the national security crisis. And I'm concerned that more and more people who do not understand the Constitution, the checks and balances, our way of life, are coming in, getting control of our system, not understanding what made America so great, the morality of the people, the checks and balances, not understanding our proper role of limited government. To where those are my concerns. I don't want to check somebody's skin color at the border. What I do want to check, though, is, hey, are they a criminal from another nation? Have we got a national security problem? Secondarily, why are they here? Are they here for a handout, socialist reasons? Are they here to just vote Democrat to see what they can get from the largesse? Or do they really understand America, and are they really here for freedom? And I think there's a reality check to that. I believe we're all God's children and should behave like that. I believe every race is a godly heritage, is a godly race, and should be celebrated and understood. But see, for that, I'm a racist, believe in conspiracy theories, Kelly.
Yeah, it's funny how that, you know, the way you stand up to that is you just don't give in to it. Every time somebody calls you something and you have to react to it, you're just giving in to that. You just have to just give them a look of indignation and scoff, you know. But yeah, this is the only country that is trying to get people to be able to vote without proving that they can vote. And unfortunately, it's white people that are doing this for people of color, and because they're ashamed of what they are, supposedly. And I guess they think they're the true racists because they think that, you know, people that are Black or Hispanic are too stupid to be able to figure out how to get a driver's license or an ID. These people, nobody can get on an airplane without having an ID. So obviously they must have some.
Unless
kind
you're
of
illegal,
ID,
then you can.
Well, that's true now. Thanks to the Biden administration. Yeah, you can get on a plane without an ID. And I love that Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott have been shipping people up to Washington, D.C. and Delaware. Like, here, you want them? You got them.
Yeah, so what do you say to this, Eldon? That's my problem here is that, look, I got to have an ID to go on a plane. They're going to have me take off half my clothes to go on a plane. Now, I've been in the United States for 54 years. I'll be 55 in a few days, okay? And so 55 years I've been in America. I don't have even a driving ticket to my name. I got a clean record. I've literally been background checked by the FBI on multiple occasions because I've had financial licenses like mortgage licenses and insurance licenses, and they require a fiduciary responsibility. And so they've got all my fingerprints and my thumbprints and my palm prints and everything else. Okay, so in America, I should be able to go anywhere I want, do anything I want easily because, look, they know my background. They know that I'm safe. It'll be, you know, it's so easy. I've been in America 55 years, but there's been no problems, and they've got all my background checks. I'm fine to deal with the financial world. I should be fine to go on a plane. But they want to, you know, take away my nail clippers. Or they want to say that I can't have a drink. Okay. But yet they're going to let illegals just jump on by the thousands on these planes. This is my concern. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm white and they may or may not be. These people are crazy, Eldon.
Yeah. Well, it's... you know, oftentimes we look at things and we think, oh, it's people that are just crazy or incompetent. But if it's craziness or incompetence, from time to time, they would make a mistake in our favor, wouldn't they?
Good point. I think they're crazy. I don't think it's incompetence at all. In fact, I think they're crazy evil. And it's intentional, Kelly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's all being done. There's a purpose to everything. It's not an oversight.
So you've got the illegals that can get formula now at the border, but then the American shelves are empty from formula. That's just one kind of point that has brought this into the mainstream. Republican mothers and Republican congresswomen and stuff around the country are going, this is wrong. And now they're somehow racist Republican women that have been hiding their racism for years, Eldon, for years.
Yeah, supposedly. Well, you know, the thing with, what do they call it, race replacement theory, you know, back in, I believe it was in the 60s, they changed the laws on, you know, where people would come from to bring in immigrants. And the focus became just, well, you know, quotas from certain parts of the world, rather than considering, well, what are these people's attitudes about or understanding of basic principles of freedom or, you know, all kinds of things that were basic considerations in the past. Now, when they expanded that, of course, yes, there were more people, you might say, darker skin rather than mainly from Europe, as was before. But it also meant that you brought in more people that had a different understanding of what our country was about. And that, of course, is going to change the society. So it's not about race, although these people tend to have different skin color, but they use the idea of race as a way to divide us and to get people, you know, you throw out that race card, and then it stops people from engaging their mind into critical thinking. So they disregard what you're trying to say. So that's really the game they're playing.
To me, the critical thinking is vital. To me, the desires of your heart, as Kelly wisely, or was it you, Eldon? I can't remember. Either way, one of you referred to that point, and that's what we're talking about here, in my opinion. Are you a good, honest, wise person? Are you coming to America to embrace the principles of freedom, or are you looking for an ignorant populace that you can take advantage of if you're a criminal, or are you looking for just a handout to be on the dole for the system? You know, your intentions matter. Your past history matters. And if people want to come to America legally, and yes, we've got a problem with the legal door. It's too tiny. If you really want to come here for the right reasons and you're a good person, it's almost impossible. Now, if you want to go ahead and just, you know, slide across the border and get on the dole and vote Democrat, then it's, you know, hey, honey, take your coat off. Baby, sit down, take your coat off or whatever. Kind of an idea. And so I've got a problem with this from a security point of view. I mean, what if somebody really has evil intent? I've got a problem about this when it comes to understanding of who we are as a people in a country and your reasons for wanting to be here. I've got a problem with the socialism that takes place when we, I mean, I got a problem even if we just redistribute the wealth in America for Americans, much less for people engaged in illegal activity. It has everything to do with these things, the principles, what makes America great, the morality. Why are you here? What do you want to accomplish? Do you believe in our way of life and our government? Do you identify with us culturally? See, this is a culture war. You know, do you believe in Christian values? Do you believe in the fundamental Ten Commandments? Whether you believe they're a religious creed or just a great basis for civilized society. Either way, we need these things or else eventually we will lose our country. We will be eventually generationally marginalized by those who are having more children and marginalized by those who are coming in droves to the point where the Christian conservative moral understanding of America will be on the heap of yesteryear. And that really, to me, is the big concern. Kelly?
Well, it's interesting, you know, if you want to find someone who believes in the American values, go find a first-generation Cuban that came here and fled socialism. And in the 50s, they had, you know, people fled Colombia, and they were doctors and lawyers, and they settled around Chicago because of the opportunities. It wasn't here to come here to get. It was to share an opportunity. And that's what America is an opportunity.
Amen. And when we come back, I want to make one more point about language and culture. We'll do it all in seconds. Kelly Finnegan with me. Eldon Stahl with me. I am Sam Bushman. Brian's out taking care of some personal business, but he'll be back with us next week. Have no fear. We'll do the Honest Money Report and a whole lot more in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The U.S. economy continues to falter. Stocks on Wednesday had their steepest losses in over 2 years following disappointing earnings from Target, Walmart, and Lowe's. The Dow Jones fell 3.57%, the NASDAQ was off 4.75%, and the S&P 500 lost just over 4%. As many Americans are wondering how we got here, millions of parents and caregivers in the United States who rely on formula to feed their children cannot do so due to the baby formula shortage in the United States. President Biden has a plan.
I'm invoking what they call the Defense Production Act to ensure that manufacturers have the necessary ingredients to make safe, healthy infant formula here at home. The Defense Production Act gives the government the ability to require suppliers to direct needed resources to infant formula manufacturers before any other customer who may have ordered that good.
USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes or overweight or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
Hatred is causing some to commit horrific acts of violence.
Authorities in Orange County, California say hatred against Taiwan motivated a Chinese-born gunman from Las Vegas to open fire on the Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church. Investigators say David Chow chained the doors and used super glue on the locks before he opened fire. Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes says one parishioner, Dr. John Chang, is a hero in the incident.
It is known that Dr. Chang charged the individual, the suspect, attempted to disarm him, which allowed other parishioners to then intercede, taking the suspect into custody.
Chang died, but Barnes says his actions probably saved the lives of dozens of people. Five were wounded in the attack, which is also being investigated as a hate crime. Chow is being held in lieu of $1 million. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
NASCAR racing is in Fort Worth, Texas this weekend. USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Brian Russ not with us. Kelly Finnegan is, though. Wonderful news. And Eldon Stahl with us as well, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this critical replacement theory idea. And I don't believe it's a theory. I believe it's a fact. And I believe we ought to be candid and open instead of just attacking one another about conspiracy theories. I think we ought to talk about the real reasons we believe in this and why. It's not racial. It's not that I hate anybody of any other races. That's a big old lie to marginalize me, to play games with reality. It's not honest. It's not open. It's not real dialogue. It's not real discussion. All right. Look, the biggest reason I have a problem with it, I've already told you, is that it has to do with national security and the content of the character of the people coming to America and the lack of understanding by we, the American people, having children is a blessing from God Almighty, not something to be cursed and jettisoned. Multiplying and replenish the earth has never been rescinded. And how many children you have is up to you. But I'm just telling you that we're not replacing ourselves and therefore we're going to be replaced because there are those who are. Really simple stuff. I digress, though. What I really want to talk about, though, is I'm concerned about the culture in America. When people come here and don't understand our laws, don't understand our culture and our way of life, think about the Muslim behavior towards women. Okay, I don't want Muslims coming and just thinking they can rape women in America. Okay, we believe in a higher moral standard than that. Okay, I don't want these things. Okay, and I know a lot of people that are coming aren't criminals, but a lot are. And you don't know who's who. But it comes down to even a more simple reality than that, ladies and gentlemen. What about just our culture, our customs, and our language? See, in the past, as Kelly wisely pointed out, you know, people would come in the 50s and whatever, they would all come and jettison their language, and they would learn English. Now, they might speak their own language, their native tongue, in their homes. They might try to teach their children to be bilingual. That's wonderful and fine. But they primarily would speak English. And a lot of the even older immigrants wouldn't even really talk too much about their home countries. They would say, you know what, we're Americans now. Where I lived was no good. Where we live is wonderful. Because of freedom, there's no tyranny, there's no socialism. They would understand this. And I'm not suggesting that we jettison the understanding of their cultural norms, or they can hold on to a lot of their heritage. I don't have any problem with that. But when you won't even embrace the principles of the culture or the heritage or the language of America, but you want to be here, I'm telling you, you're off on the wrong foot to start. Eldon, then Kelly.
Yeah, my my father-in-law has an experience with this. He, in the 90s, he came from Soviet Russia, and then it fell apart, basically, in the early 90s. But when he came to Germany with his family, they had a real process of assimilation. They had to stay in some place for, several months or what. But anyway, all these people that had newly come to Germany, now that's all changed in Germany. Now Germany is just being flooded with new immigrants from all different places, but there's no process of assimilation, of just basic learning basic stuff about being a German. It's kind of like they're worshiping at the altar of the idea of multiculturalism, that somehow the process of assimilation is this terrible, hateful thing. Whereas really it's in the interest of a country to have people go through a certain level of assimilation so that the process of immigration does not become a process of cultural, societal, political, economic revolution. And so that's definitely in the interest of a society to have a certain assimilation process happen, but that's being looked down upon in the United States. So anytime you jettison that process, you're embracing this type of revolution that, like the Marxists and other revolutionaries want.
Kelly.
Yeah, well, when I go in for whatever to the doctor or whoever, and they have to ask you what your race is, if Native American isn't on there, which I will check because I was born here, I will do other. And when they ask me to specify, I put American, because that's what I am. I don't care what color of skin someone has. Are you bought into being an American? And I hate this where they allow people to have dual citizenship. You know what? You should be able to just say, you know what? I'm putting all my eggs in this basket and I'm going to be an American. And my wife's grandfather came here when he was 14 from Greece, before World War I. And his name was Angelos Kyriakos, and he had his name changed to Angel Karras, and that was when he became an American. And then he served in World War I in Europe and went over and helped the Allies there, and that's how he got his citizenship. He had skin in the game, and he was proud to be an American his whole life.
And that's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. The color of your skin is irrelevant to me. We're all God's children. Let's behave like it. But let's also take care of national security. Let's also uphold the laws of America, because a country that doesn't have laws ain't going to be a country very long. I'm telling you right now. That's the real concern. All right. Enough of that. Let's move now to the Honest Money Report. Kelly Finnegan with us, and he's got gold. What's gold looking like, sir?
Well, gold's up to $1,842.60, and that's down from where it was. It was up over 1900, but it's up 2460 today.
1842.60.
Yep.
Silver?
And silver 2193 up 44 cents. Platinum 966 up 22. And your rhodium that you love is 1650.
Wow, Kurt loves the rhodium. Not me. I can't afford it there, Kelly.
Down 550. But it's interesting that these metals have gone up. I mean, the stock market fell over 1,000 points yesterday, the Dow. I mean, there's a bloodbath in the stock market. So everybody's going back to the funny how they go back and forth and back and forth, depending on what the Fed tells them to do, instead of just saying, you know what, this the U.S. dollar is, they played games with it so much that the rest of the world really doesn't want it anymore. Because like Russia said, hey, you won't let us use dollars, we're going to use rubles. Sorry. And so that's what's going to happen. So gold, we're going to, it looks like probably heading for another gold standard, which would be great.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get there or not, though, because they're really trying to just double down and jettison the dollar as it starts to fail with the digital, which they're hoping they can put together some coalitions to put them in the driver's seat for, what, another 100 years, Alden? Or Eldon?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting stuff going on, right?
I don't know where to go with this in the sense that it's all paper play, though. When Kelly says, you know, we're moving to kind of whatever the Fed says and going back and forth and back and forth, it's all because nobody's taking possession of the real metals, though, or else that would not be happening, Kelly.
Oh, the ETFs are crazy. I mean, that, and you know, if you're a trader, that's fine. But if you want something that you can hold on to and not have to worry, you know, any metals I buy, they get put away. I don't even care what the dollar amount is. And I have a friend, I just bought some $20 gold pieces for him. And, you know, it's down probably $70 from when he bought those. He doesn't even bring it up to me like, oh, I should have waited. No, he had an opportunity to get it and we got it, you know. And once you have it, you know, there's no liability on that. It's not anybody else's debt. You know, a U.S. dollar is promise that the government's going to tax somebody to make that good now. There's not
Hold on, stop, Kelly. I need you to repeat that.
That's
because
good.
This is so informative to understand. Say that again.
Yep.
That the dollar is not backed by anything. It's fiat currency. Fiat means so let it be. So the government says this is a dollar, so it's a dollar. And we go along with it and say that piece of paper is a dollar. I always love it when I go somewhere and they pull out the little brown marker and they'll mark a $20 bill to see if it works, you know, if it's real or not. And I said, you know, if I can get a post-it note that I write $20 on it, have the marker work on it, will you take that? Because it's the same thing, you know, it's just a piece of paper. But we accepted that.
Now, the statement you made that I think is really vital that I want to hammer home, though, and it was brilliant, which is this. When they tell you it's a dollar, whether it is or not, whether it varies or not in relevancy around the world, they tax someone else to make that dollar good for you. That's the point here.
Right.
Right? And the only way they can do that is by taxing the next guy, or else it won't hold the value, right?
Yeah, it's the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world. And it is. It is that. It's just that it's this piece of paper that's printed. It says, it doesn't say it's a United States note. It's a Federal Reserve note. Federal Reserve is a private company.
You got that right. When we get back, Eldon Stahl will like to come in as well. I'm going to repeat it and go straight to Eldon on this because, man, that's the reality. You got to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. When the dollar tanks, Americans are paying taxes to make sure that's good. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
This is a battle, a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
All right, Kelly Finnegan with us, and he made the incredible statement that look, for them to honor the dollar, ladies and gentlemen, they just have to tax the next guy to uphold the value. Taxes for fiat currency. It's a Ponzi scheme as you go. That's why when the money's worthless, then the next guy's got to pay the bill, or else you can't honor it for the old guy, or whatever the case may be. Eldon, that's really a great way of putting it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one way. I mean, another way they do, of course, is through inflation, as they just spend money, but rather than taxing people directly, what they do is they devalue the value of the dollars that people have at hand already. And that's, you might say, a very sneaky way of plundering people. So that's I'd say, form of taxation, too.
Amen. No doubt inflation is the hidden form of taxation. And it's destruction through fiat. It's destruction through inflation. And inflation, really, the American people are starting to kind of understand it. It's not very hard to understand. Look, you could say, I'm not an economist. I don't really get the complexities. Fine. You get when you go to the pump, though, don't you, Kelly?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Henry Ford once said that if the American public knew how the fractional banking system worked, they would be out with pitchforks and torches tomorrow morning. So, you know, and it's funny that we're blaming Russia and we're blaming the you know, these corporations that are so greedy for this, rather than, you know what, it's just scarcer commodity and you're not allowing anyone to drill for it. So that's why it's so high.
In addition to the fact that the distribution is a problem too, when you start to make it difficult for distribution. And what I mean by that is, hey, the truckers are having a problem with fuel. And so then fuel relates to every other commodity as well, because, hey, how do you get everything to Walmart? How do you get everything everywhere? I don't know if you know, but Walmart is experiencing big, big trouble. They didn't do so well. Did you see this, guys?
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, they're down.
Yeah, they're down big time. Basically, Head says this, Walmart earnings plunged 25% and shares follow. This is New York Times. Wow. Yeah, for the first time in years, Walmart did not meet Wall Street's expectations. They're trying to navigate inflation there. Yeah, they're being hit hard by inflation, ladies and gentlemen. And it was an unexpectedly large drop that Walmart blamed on broadly higher costs relating to labor and fuel. Kelly.
Yeah, and the CEO is the one who screwed up. He misjudged everything, because other companies have done just well, you know, fine. You know, they didn't lose as much as Walmart, but Walmart really took a shot. I saw an episode, Mike Rowe was talking about truckers now. He says it's costing them $1,200 to fill the tanks on their trucks.
Yeah, can you imagine
that? Where it was $600. Oh. Yeah, so those guys have to come up with $1,200 to be able to move that truck.
Well, the number's staggering, right, Eldon?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's just, and it drives up the prices of everything. And certainly this is a manufactured crisis, something that especially without Biden, but we've, of course, got the Congress that's contributed to this as well. not just under Biden, but before Biden, they started spending. You know, you wear out the term like drunken sailors. I don't know what you would call it. They just like there's no tomorrow.
Like it grows on trees.
Like it grows on trees. Yeah, yeah. It's, but, you know, it hit a point. You remember when Ron Paul was running for Congress, he said, well, you can't print money, you know, out of thin air and all that. And people thought, oh, okay. And so now they've gotten to the point where they said, yeah, you know, I wonder if Ron Paul was right. So let's see if we can spend enough to actually meaningfully devalue the dollar. And I guess they found out how much you need to spend to do that.
Where do we go? You think inflation is just going to be a long haul, a long persist, or do you think they're going to do something to get over it? What do you think is going to happen temporarily and long term, Kelly?
Well, I know they're starting to say it's not, you know, transitory, and they know there's a problem, but they're, you know, when it push comes to shove, the Fed's going to prop up the stock market, because that's what makes people think that they have money, and that's what, you know, we think that the stock market is the economy. So if they have to choose between inflation and keeping the stock market up, they'll do that. And now I just see that unemployment went up for the first time in 2 months again. So yeah, we don't even measure things the way they used to. I mean, if they measured inflation the way they did back in 1980, we're at pushing 20% right now. We're hitting like all-time highs. We're not just highest in 40 years. They've changed the measurement.
That's a really important point that you bring up, Kelly. People need to understand what they've done is they've changed the markers to hide the scam.
Yeah, that's pretty sobering, isn't it?
Go ahead, Kelly.
I was going to say, yeah, they have. And they don't let people know that, you know, and people don't look into it. And I don't know if it's because they don't want to, or, you know, and now it's so much easier to find this information than it used to be. I remember when you used to have to go to the library to look up stuff, find a newspaper from wherever. But now, I mean, it's at your fingertips, and they, you know, then they'll say, well, it's fake news or whatever. Well, you can dig down and find out. Listen to both sides, and you can see what's really going on.
There you have it. It's hard to know where we go here. I'm convinced that it's going to be a long, persistent inflationary slog. And the reason that I think that is because of the moves they're making. The problem is the moves they're making cannot be undone. Let me give you an example. Let's just take energy. When you move to wind power and solar panel, they're incredibly inefficient, and they're expensive to implement. And when you do that, then you get rid of the coal-fired, you know, power plants and the gas power plants, and you only rely on this wind and solar and whatever new technologies, so to speak, new energy. At some point, it's going to be way expensive to deliver and way flaky, way spotty in its delivery. As a result, then, energy costs are going to skyrocket. It's a coming. We've been disassembling the coal-fired power plants now, and we haven't seen too much because, you know what, when everything's running optimally, what they've done is got rid of the excess so far, the ability to scale up if necessary or whatever. They've got rid of that, so you haven't noticed it. But in time, things are going to get worse. And as they do then, when something breaks, when something falls apart, there's no room in the system anymore. Okay, they're doing the same thing in airlines. They've really reduced the number of flights, and all flights are full now. That's fine. You don't notice it too much at first, except for maybe a fuller flight. But eventually, you're going to notice it more and more and more because there's no give in the system. There's no ability to expand if there's a greater need. So if a plane, for some reason, gets out of service because of maintenance, you used to be able to put people on 10 other flights, no problem. Now those flights simply aren't there. The other flights are already full, sorry. And so now the repercussions of this beyond just-in-time inventory, meaning it's stretched to the limit inventory. We don't have enough. We're always going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul and always going to be putting somebody on the sidelines. Discussion is going to come to roost, and people are going to feel it. That will then spur even higher prices. And what's happening is we're getting this self-sustaining, fulfilling prophecy almost of, what do you want to call it, a recession coming, Kelly?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, and the way you can stop that is you raise the interest rate. But if they do that, then we're in such debt in this country and in the world But if you raise the interest rate, then you have to pay more money from any taxes and any revenue that you generate towards just the interest. And so they have to keep the interest rate down. You know, and if it goes up, then people don't buy houses, and then people aren't working. And so this is a self-made problem. And, yeah, it's here for a long time.
Eldon.
Well, my wife asked me the other day, she said, how long do you think that we're going to have these high gas prices and inflation? I said, well, you know, Biden's got at least another 2 years left. So, you know, it's going to be a long haul. But, yeah, I don't expect this to be a quick thing that would change overnight to go back to all these bad, you know, away from these bad policies that they've promoted.
What do you think the likelihood of a recession coming is, Eldon?
A recession? I think that's a real possibility. I guess it depends on how you define that. But it seems like we're in a recession now, in a sense. So that's, that's how it is.
Do you want to respond to this, Kelly? What do you think the likelihood is? Because the Epoch Times has a piece right now that says, the coming recession, the inevitable recession. It's coming.
I give it 100%. Yeah, I think we're probably already there. You know, it says 2 quarters of no growth. And go to the grocery store and tell me, you know, the 24 ounces of bread, the pound and a half loaves of bread that now are down to a pound. And things that were 32 ounces are down to 28 ounces. So they're using shrinkflation to hide the inflation. And, you know, and then later what they'll do is they'll have, you know, this new smaller size that will be the big size, and they'll call it the party pack or whatever, you know. So it's just a way, it's right. A smoke and mirror.
Yeah, the interesting to me is how you define a recession. So they say it's a 30% chance if you ask all these economists. I say the number's way higher because, again, you know, a recession versus depression, they say it's a recession when your friends feel it, it's a depression when you feel it, right? But really, what I mean is, economically speaking, it's a very complicated formula they use to determine these things in terms of how they define the words. It's a recession to me already, though. Everything I'm looking at costs me more money in inflation to where, hey, my money is dwindling in value. Even if I get a raise tomorrow, it won't be near the 8%+ that they admit on the books and the real number of the cost of goods and services increase for me. So it's already a recession, Kelly, in the real sense.
Well, do you think a government economist is going to tell you there's a recession? Have you ever heard the government come out and tell anybody, wow, we're in really bad shape right now? Other than FDR, and his was, hey, we're in bad shape, but if I wasn't here, boy, we'd be in a lot worse shape. So you guys better reelect me or we'd really be in trouble. And he did exactly what Herbert Hoover did. You know, it wasn't like he changed anything. Hoover did the same stuff. It just hit when he was in, you know. So, yeah, it goes in cycles, and we're in that cycle right now.
Amen to that. Last words yours on this topic this hour, Kelly. Let's do Eldon. Eldon?
Well, yeah, I think we better be prepared for some hard times, unfortunately. I wish I were the bearer of good news on this one. But, yeah, it's we've allowed our government and in some ways demanded that our government manufacture this crisis. And unless we learn some good basic economics and principles, we're going to continue down this road. So we need to change course.
Kelly, my friend, thank you so much. Godspeed. We'll look forward to having you back, brother. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. It was good to be here.
There he goes, Eldon Stahl. We feel the same way about, but he'll be with us next hour. So we'll just look forward to that. How's that, ladies and gentlemen? Eldon Stahl, field coordinator with the John Birch Society, ladies and gentlemen. JBS.org, thenewamerican.com. And if we got a bunch of news the networks refuse to use for you straight ahead on your radio, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.